you know what? We're like Ocean's 14 in the making.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, can I be the Chinese acrobat?
No, you can't fit in a gym bag.
Don't even know what a gym bag is.
Can't fit
what
in
is this
gym.
Strange nylon piece of apparatus?
What is this?
That I've never seen before.
I don't understand the zipper. Did I tell you Presley can open zippers?
We've got to start the show.
Okay.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey there. This is Katie with a very hateful thought of the day. I hate forgetting to put on deodorant. Who knew that two little swipes of armpit protection could directly affect your ability to behave as a normal human being? You're going about your day all fine and dandy. You're on top of the world. When bam, it all crashes down around you with a friendly wave to say hello. And from that moment on, you've become an awkward T-Rex because your arms are super glued to your sides. I hate forgetting deodorant. And you, I hate you too.
One take.
One take, but I still, it probably needed a little punch up. Needed another joke.
For what it's worth, you smell fresh as a daisy.
It's because I put on extra deodorant when I figured out that, well, I guess it wouldn't have been extra. And I changed my shirt, too.
But other than that?
It actually happened.
It did happen? That's why this radio show is so great.
Because I'm fresh as a daisy?
And it's based in truth.
Cake and cookies.
Damn it.
Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie show.
Jesus.
I'm going to... Zip it?
No, no, we need you to talk.
And lock it for just a second. Can Dude do that again?
Yeah, do you want the same bumper or a different one?
Well, let's go with the same one since I ruined it.
Okay, in three.
Zip.
Two. One.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
You know what killed me about that? You can talk now.
Thank you.
Is...
I don't know why I was holding my breath, too.
The first time you said, when you just said truth... If you had stopped at saying that, it would have been okay.
But I can't stop myself.
You can't stop yourself. Like a snowball.
I know.
Zooming down.
It's an avalanche.
It is number 25, a quarter of a century.
And you thought I was wrong.
I never said that.
No, you said...
I double-checked it.
Well, you didn't trust me.
No, I don't trust me.
No, I said it's 25.
You really have to fight today. You really are.
I know.
Yeah, you are. Number 25, the episode of The Cake and the Cookies, and I can't see anymore. It's a weekly podcast to show by way of comparison that your life really isn't that bad. Thank you, as always, to Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, Boom Boom Bloom.
Boom Boom Bloom.
And everybody at More Broadcasting. Also, my buddy Steve Bridges. Who puts us on the radio, keeps us on the radio. Remember to check us out on Facebook and also the Twitter, but mostly go to iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out there. The best way to do is
us a rating.
Please do. 5 stars.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Let it be a good one, please.
Yeah, if you're going, you know what? What did my mother always say? If you can't say something nice.
No, she would say, Robbie? That's hateful.
It's hateful to leave a 1-star review.
It's hateful.
You can search More Broadcasting, and that'll bring you to us, in addition to The Mike O'Mara Show and the new Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein.
It's so good.
I love it. Also, Tech 411, Robin Joe, OmeraCast, and the strangely absent It's Mickey.
I sent Gary Stein a friend request on Facebook.
You want me to speak to him? Because sometimes.
No, he accepted it right away.
Right away. Well, you're cute.
I know.
Hey, you know what? If it's, I understand Mickey is going to start posting again in the fall, so just in a couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
But until then, why don't we call the show It Was Mickey?
Oh, no.
That bad?
It isn't Mickey.
It could have been Mickey.
It's not Mickey.
It used to be Mickey. Don't you know who I used to be?
It'll be Mickey again soon.
That's right. Coming back. And we're all excited about his back to school special. That's what we're saying.
I hate back to school.
Why? Oh, because of what you do.
Because I'm a faculty manager.
Yeah. You know who loves back to school? This guy.
Dixon Ticonderoga? Never mind.
That's the pencil.
Got ahead of myself.
Next time.
I have the hiccups again. This is awful.
You're drinking the delicious lemonade.
I haven't had this before. It's delightful.
Mike's not frozen lemonade is what we're drinking tonight.
It is cool. It's hard. It's refreshing.
It's wonderful. And you've got the regular lemonade. Mine is the black cherry flavor.
I haven't had this much sugar in years.
Yeah, you're going to be bouncing off the wall. And
I already am, and I've only had like a third of it.
And hiccoughing, as the British say.
Hiccoughing.
We don't want you to hiccough.
No.
But anyway. So Mickey will be back for the back to school special. I love back to school because it puts the kids back on a schedule.
It gets him out of the house.
Well, it's not just that, but Carrie is so eager to make the kids like her.
Uh-huh. Is this why Robert's been sleeping till 2 o'clock?
Till 2!
Yeah.
I get up, prep a show, drive to the District of Columbia.
And back.
Do 2 shows sometimes. Mm-hmm. Drive back, and I come home just in time to see him go, oh, hi, Dad.
He's growing.
He's growing annoying is what he's growing.
He has gotten tall just this summer. It's like every time I see him, I'm like, you grew.
But he needs to not get up at 2 o'clock. There's a lot of late night gaming, I think. He plays the Minecraft.
Oh, you know, you can set like limits on like the times and stuff.
I'm not into being that parent.
Any parent?
Carrie will say.
Be the parent, not the friend.
And then Carrie will say, why don't we let them do that and let them have anything they want? And why don't we let them dye their hair blue and that way they'll like me? Am I the favorite yet?
Dan and I play good cop, bad cop in our house, but I'm the bad cop.
Now, do you do this with each other?
No, with the dogs.
Oh, with the dog. Because good cop, bad cop doesn't work. Then it's like a buddy movie.
That's why I'm kind of all in a tizzy swirl today, because Judd and Presley have been jerks.
If you played good cop, bad cop with each other, it'd be like Lethal Weapon. A buddy movie just starring you two.
Well, yeah, but we're not buddies. We're
lovers.
Ew.
I yucked myself out when I said that.
Yuck with a hand gesture.
They're not just buddies.
Oh, stop. Don't do it.
They're
no!
lovers. Dan is okay with this or no? He kind of sneered. Not into it.
He's not, yeah.
No. Well, we are all a little off balance today.
Yeah.
With the passing, the most unexpected passing of Robin Williams. And we'll be posting this show probably tomorrow. So you're probably hearing it on Thursday if you're hearing it right away. But we are not going to do any sort of clip-centric or highlight reel of Robin Williams.
Well,
because
we did that
today on the Mike O'Mara bonus show, which, by the way, if you are not a bonus show subscriber, shame on you. But if you are not, it's a free show this week.
It is.
And it is dedicated in memory and a celebration, really, of the legacy of Robin Williams. And it's a wonderful sort of retrospective of his career and some of the greatest moments therein. So please take a moment and listen to today's Mike O'Mara bonus show. I think you will enjoy it.
Absolutely. And that is one reason why we're going to be posting a little bit for Cake and Cookies late this week is because you were working.
There was a lot of clips.
You put a lot of time. How many clips did you?
I brought in, I think, probably like 65 clips all total. And we played about 40 to 45 of them, I think.
Yeah.
And they were not chosen lightly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
it's such a huge body of work to choose from.
And I take it on with a certain amount of, I attach importance to it.
Reverence.
Exactly. I don't want to just go in and play the same 5 clips that everyone's going to play. I tried to dig deeper and give you, 1 hour is not enough, but I tried to use that hour to present a better rounded portrait of the man. I tried to anyway.
So, that's already been taken care of. But one thing that you and I did talk about before the show when we were doing our show prep, you know, writing our scripts.
Right. And so, arguing.
Well, yeah, we do that a lot too. But was that we have talked before about depression and mental illness on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wrote some quite a notes last night. And it's something that I, in that vein, that I absolutely want to talk about. I think we would be remiss if we didn't.
Right now, it is part of the national consciousness, and especially if it is something that is at the forefront of our thought patterns anyway, now is the time to bring it up. So we promise you more goofy cake and cookies goodness in the near future, but give us a moment because this is something we want to discuss.
Absolutely. So my hope for any goodness, if any goodness can come out of some sort of tragedy like this, is that mental illness loses some of its taboo.
Okay.
And that is a discussion that we've had before.
Right.
And people often think, oh, it's a drug problem or it's alcoholism. But oftentimes, those are how people cope with their disease of mental illness.
And they walk hand in hand often. And they can escalate with each other.
Correct. But they also aren't indicative of each other.
Far from it.
So oftentimes, people with mental illness will have an abuse problem of some sort simply because it's a way to sort of turn off your brain or to dull that part
dull
of your
brain. Senses, yeah.
Exactly. But let's be clear, not all people with mental illness have problems with substance abuse vice versa.
True enough.
It's often caused by a chemical problem with your brain. And
this was, correct me if I'm wrong, neither of us are experts, but until relatively recently, this was misunderstood.
Absolutely.
They never thought it was a chemical deal or a correctable deal.
No, even when I was growing up, I first went to a doctor having some issues when I was around 15.
Okay.
And the treatment I was given was completely a horrible thing for me. It's Prozac.
Oh my God. For 15-year-old?
For 15-year-old. And the fact was, is it was 2 months after my grandmother had died.
Sure.
I was sad.
Yeah, it happens.
You know, and I got to a point where I was like, this is not working out for me. Like, I felt like I was a zombie.
Yeah.
So, you know, found a different doctor, and you know, at this point in my life, I am 36 years old and I do feel like I'm on the right path.
Sure.
I have a great support system. And it's something that I would hope for everyone.
You have buddies and you have a lover.
And I also, you know, for those of you out there who, you know, have friends or have family members who might be suffering from some sort of mental illness or some sort of depression, you know, one thing that is really oftentimes hurtful is, you know, they'll say things like, think of all those people who have it worse, or think of all the great things that you have going on in your life. And mental illness and depression go so much deeper than just trying to find your happy spot.
Sure. And also you can't loop it in with other people or any situation because you're often fighting a battle within your own brain.
What I have going on with me is not something that's ever going to lend me to be able to help somebody else.
Exactly.
So it lies within the most delicate of balances.
Yep.
And what weighs so heavy one day can be light as air the next.
Mm-hmm.
What seems trivial on the surface to others can be soul-crushing darkness to a person who's too embarrassed to say, I need help because some days I can't leave my house for fear that everyone will know my secret. My secret that someday I can barely put one foot in front of the other, and God forbid I might bring you down with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we said, no means am I any sort of expert.
No.
But it is something that I deal with myself. As far as depression and mental illness go, I am out.
Right.
And, you know, it's not having like a big coming out party, but I am out. And I'm not ashamed of it anymore.
Okay.
It's just something, you know, you deal with. And I'm lucky enough to have gotten myself down a good path and gotten myself in a good place. And... you know, there's just different ways to deal with it. Sometimes some people can just talk to people and they feel better. Some people do need a step further where they might need some sort of medication or something deeper.
As someone who has been dealing with it for a long time, and you've had good eras and worse eras, you're in a good place now, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
What would you have liked from the people around you when you were at a dark part of your life?
Just for someone to say, you know what? I don't have any advice for you, but I'm your friend.
Okay. Be there.
Just to be there.
Okay.
And don't it's like if you're hungry and you go to the refrigerator and someone in the other room starts telling you everything that's in the refrigerator.
Right.
That's not going to tell you what you want to eat.
Uh-huh.
So just to be there.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's hard for you as a friend, to be with someone who's really, you know, hurting, for lack of a better word.
Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough to be a friend.
Yeah, just be the person who's strong enough to follow through
if
your friend is strong enough to ask.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part.
Uh-huh.
And then I did write this message to those who are suffering. I want you to know you're not alone. I'll put it out there. I have called a suicide hotline twice. And I had nothing to say to the other person but thank you. Those two times were 15 years apart. One was not so far ago in my recent past. Your life can be phenomenal, but that doesn't mean your brain always is.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I want to leave you with the National Suicide Prevention Hotline.
Okay.
And that is 800-273-8255.
That number again.
800-273-TALK.
Thank you. I know that wasn't easy for you. Thank you, Katie. That's very brave and very helpful. And we have all, it's just something we all need to be aware of. And I think now might be a great time to become more aware of it.
I hope so.
It's in the national consciousness, as I said, and it's a very sad incident that brings it to the forefront. But as you said at the front of it, if something good can come of it, maybe it's this.
You know what I really hope?
What?
And that just to sort of, in the same vein, but switch gears a little bit. I really hope that the funeral and the celebration of Robin Williams lives up to the joy that he brought all of us.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. I'm reading a book right now about the stand-up comedy scene in the 1970s
in Los Angeles. Is this part of your continuing problem of buying things and not remembering it?
I know. You know what? Because Amazon, through the Mike O'Mara...
You've got a stack of stuff in front of you
again. I know. We're
going
to get to it. I promise. Everybody has their burdens, all right? There is no hotline for me.
Yours starts with an E and ends with a Elvis.
That's right. There is no 800 number for me, Katie. No. I'm sorry. But this book was recommended to me, and it is about the stand-up comedy scene in Los Angeles in the 1970s. And you're looking at all the people like Leno and Letterman and Tom Dreesen and Johnny Dark, people you've heard of, people you haven't heard of, that all came up together.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens with the funeral of one of the first of those guys to pass away. And it started out almost as a reverent funeral, and it ended up with everybody insulting each other with this guy's jokes. And then it got so efficient where they were just yelling out punchlines because they didn't even need the setup.
At that point, you don't need the joke.
And it was so wonderful. And what a celebration of this guy, some obscure 1970s comic, that 30 years later, his friends and his colleagues still remembered the joy that he brought. And this is not by any means someone at Robin Williams level. I can only imagine what could be possible. But, you know, we shall see. And it also, of course, depends on the wishes of the family. And we have to respect that.
But absolutely. Absolutely.
So what an amazing career. And we were lucky to have him for as long as we did.
Absolutely. And you have some tips for funerals. You were you were trying to give me tips for funerals. And I was like, I never even thought of that.
Well, there are a few things you want to keep in mind. I have bared Paul.
What would be the term for that?
I guess, well, are you bearing Paul? Paul, it means sadness, right?
I think so.
Like you cast a pall over the room.
Pallor. It's
yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been a pallbearer several times. And because.
Dan, have you ever been a pallbearer?
Never have.
It's well,
not a great gig. I mean, make no mistake, a funeral to begin with is not great.
No, this is why I want to be cremated. I don't want anyone to know how much I weigh.
The very best. Well, they take a lot of that out of you.
Do they?
Yeah, they suck out all the blood.
So really the weight is from the casket.
It's not even the casket.
I want the Cadillac of caskets.
It's really the joists, the buckles, all of the stuff, the finery.
How many rings was Elvis wearing?
Oh, too many. Too Lord. Many. So
his belt alone.
And also such fancy hardware. The wood and
you
the brass.
You know that was velvet.
Of course.
And that stuff is heavy. It's not like a cotton, you know.
And at that point, it didn't matter that it was so hot. He's like, bring it on. And yeah, I'll leave my jacket on. I don't care. So it'll be the only time in a religious setting that I'll be okay keeping my jacket on.
Right.
Because I'll be dead.
Heck yeah.
I don't want to be cremated because just in case.
I do.
Okay. Well, we'll see to that.
Thank you. You wait until I'm dead?
I'm making a note of it.
Thank you.
You're on the show seat. So a funeral at the beginning, I mean, really from the word go, the very, very best funeral is really only as good as like a pretty good movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not fun. If they are people that have lived true, spectacular, long lives and you've loved them and you've done a great job celebrating them, that's your best case.
Yeah.
I think the best funeral, have you ever had a funeral that you could qualify one as a best funeral?
Yeah. My grandmother Libby's funeral.
This is so dark.
It
and
was
I
so,
really didn't think we were going to go here.
I didn't either, but it was so, I don't want to say cool, but she was in a bird watching group.
Okay.
And her little bird watching friends, because they're all like little old ladies, they showed up in their bird watching gear.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they're all dressed in like khaki with hats on.
I am so glad you didn't say what I thought you were going to say. Is that he was buried in a cage. And I'm glad that's not what happened. Because that, you know what? Over the top.
Over the top.
And too soon.
But it was also interesting because the preacher, pastor,
celebrant,
priest, whatever, asked everyone to tell stories.
Yes. That can go either very good or very bad.
It went well.
That's good.
Everyone told all these stories, and it was just really, it was perfect.
That's great.
It was absolutely perfect.
That is cool. The most recent funeral I went to, I would say he was probably my best friend in high school. It was very close between him and Brad. I've talked about Brad on this show before.
Brad is the executor of your delete my hard drive.
Exactly. Yes. He's got a very important job at my funeral.
Yes. Should you go, Brad?
Should I go?
Brad has his instructions.
I would say delete my hard drive. That me and Brad and this guy, John, we were probably almost like a triangle of best friendship. We were all good friends. But John's father passed around Christmas time this year. And he spent a lot of time towards the end of his life volunteering for older soldiers in a retired soldier's home.
Mm-hmm.
And about three rows of the church, which was packed, about three rows was they were filled with senior citizens in their military uniforms.
That's
and
cool.
it was reverent and it was wonderful.
That's cool.
But I think my favorite funeral was Big Daddy's funeral. I know, it's so dark.
I know, it's such a weird thing.
It's a really dark thing. And yeah. But it was Big Daddy's funeral, my grandfather. He had a very long, wonderful life. I think he was 95, 96 when he died.
Let's be realistic. I don't think it's dark because we're talking about the good things. I think it's just a continuation of the celebration of somebody's life.
I'd like to think so. And he was so loved and so well regarded.
Did everybody call him Big Daddy?
No. Mm-mm. As a matter of fact, my kids called him Cubby. Julia made that up and we're not sure why. Most people called him Dad or Mr. Stalka, or as his wife called him, Billy.
Now, Billy.
Not many people called him Billy.
Not many people were probably allowed.
But the church he attended for many, many years was not big enough to house the funeral.
Oh,
it was,
wow.
It was only going to seat about 200 people. And if that, and it couldn't
do it. I couldn't farm in 200 people.
So we actually had the visitation at his church. So the people could come up to the altar where he was laying out. I'm not good with an open casket.
No.
So I didn't go there. But then they had the social hall downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the visitation, they had the great thing where they put out pictures everywhere.
I love that.
But then also there was a table where we put stuff that people associated with him. Like a stack of index cards, which he always carried. I think there was a comb, Werther's candies.
Oh, that's
and
so cool.
His pens, just the stuff he always had. So that was really neat. And then the next day for the funeral, which was, again, it was massive. And the celebrant was wonderful. And I think there was the eulogy by the celebrant.
Were the funeral baseball cards?
I don't think there were because it wasn't Catholic. Oh, we didn't have any funeral baseball cards.
The Catholic funeral baseball cards.
And then there was a religious-based eulogy that my Uncle Billy did that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The theme was something to the tune of...
Hello, my daughter.
No, it wasn't like that. It was like a life...
I'm so sorry.
A life well-lived or something. And then,
oh, that's awesome.
And then I did one that was, as you can imagine, much more lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure I'd be able to get through it, but I did. And it was... There was just so many great people that came out to honor him. And that was fun. But what
did you wear a plaid jacket?
I did not wear a plaid jacket.
I had to ask.
Dark suit.
Okay.
Very tasteful. Now, in a situation like that, this
Rob,
is a very long way.
I'll wear a plaid jacket at your funeral.
I would like that.
Actually.
I would like to think that I'd see you in the plaid jacket before the funeral, though. Where do I benefit from that? And how come you're outliving me all of a sudden? Don't answer that.
Okay. Because I'm younger than you.
And healthier. And a lady.
She's a lady.
Whoa. So very, very roundabout, long way to get to this is that blood relatives, direct descendants are not often pallbearers because it's usually an honor handed to other people. And
oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So
I don't know much about like how that.
So I was not a pallbearer at Big Daddy's. Now, I did do some pallbearing for friends of Big Daddy's because, you know, I was around the house a lot. I know that his good friend, JT, who owned a pharmacy in Falls Church that used to be the furniture store.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pharmacy was next door. They had two businesses in a Mayberry-like setting.
That's
it was so great.
Cute. That's awesome.
And they were friends, you know, for 50 years. and I was called upon to be a pallbearer at JT's wife's funeral, Ruth. And this is when I learned that if you're going to be a pallbearer, get there early.
Why?
And what you want, trust me on this, you want the left side of the casket so you can use your right hand.
Oh, so if you're right-handed,
get on the side that allows you.
If you're left,
because if I got on that other side, I can't like grab with my right hand and walk sideways.
Right,
you have to be on the. Now here's the thing: I was a little late, and I was assigned front right corner.
Oh, you don't want that because you've got stairs
and heavy, and so I'm using my left hand and. I have a pinched nerve that occasionally gets at me in my shoulder. And when it happens, I lose feeling in my thumb, pointer, and middle finger. I'm just going to say this. We almost lost her. I was the youngest pallbearer by maybe 40 years. And I know
they were
really
counting on you.
Yeah, I really was.
Quite frankly, Rob, you might have thought you got there late. Everyone got there really early and they saved you that spot.
They might have spent the night. And you know, the guy says, pallbearers. And he looks at me, front corner. Oh, I said something beyond that.
In the house of the Lord?
I think we were outside at this point.
His name might have been mentioned.
It came up in conversation. If you're outside in a cemetery, you can scream it from the mountaintop. It doesn't matter. But we didn't lose her, and all is well.
That's good.
But you know what? A lesson learned.
I learned a lesson just about this time last summer about funerals.
Which is why.
If you're going to give someone some sort of nerve pill, check with the rest of your family members to see if they might have already done the same thing.
I love the fact that you're talking about, you might as well call it a tonic.
That's what my mom calls them, nerve pills.
Nerve pills.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So my...
Like, I'm guessing some sort of relaxant, a tranquilizer.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. The password is Valium. Okay. Oh. Not volume. Valium.
Yes. A large volume of Valium.
So my aunt Ronnie passed away last summer.
Right.
And that's my mother's sister.
Okay.
Okay. My mom took it very, very, very badly.
Which is to be expected.
Absolutely.
A sibling death is tough.
100%. So Dan and I drive out and we get there and it was a matter of we hit traffic, so we had to spend the night like halfway there and then finish. So we arrived at the church.
Oh, so you
for the funeral.
Tough.
Didn't see my mom beforehand or anything. So it was just a little bit before. So I walk in and I see my cousin Susie and she was Ronnie's only daughter.
Uh-huh.
Only child.
Right.
And you know, we have our hugs and I'm like, "How are you doing?" And she goes, "I'm okay. It's your mom though.
Right.
You need to go." And so I went and I found her in like a,
an alcove?
Like a lounge, like a ladies' little lounge area.
Was there a band? Not like a Vegas lounge.
Hey, Tiger.
Hey, we're here until the funeral starts. So
it was, there was a little restroom area, but then there was a seating sort of lounge area.
Don't forget to tip your priests and waitresses.
Exactly. In front of there. And she's.
I'm totally with you.
She's in there by herself.
I'm guessing it's the same area where the bride would ready herself for a wedding.
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
Exactly.
I don't know what those are called. There's a word for those.
It's dungeon?
No, it was very light and airy.
Apps?
Sofas. I think there was a chaise.
Was there a Davenport?
I don't know what a Davenport is, but
it's a sofa.
Is it?
It's like a love seat.
It's a divan.
Is it a fainting couch?
Is it a divan?
It might be.
You know, that's what my grandmother called them.
God.
And I still don't know what it means.
And you know what?
Or how to spell it.
Even that's hipper than calling it a nerve pill.
Okay, well, sure.
The divan is full of nerve pills.
So I walk in the room and my mom turns around and she's a tiny little lady.
Okay.
And I have no place to talk.
Understood.
So
you're not diminishing her. You're just explaining her build.
But I mean, I'm not big by any means. I'm a tiny little lady too.
Yes.
So it sounds like a book. Oh, yes. Little Women. So. So Dan is so shaking. He's like, "I put up with her all day long."
Another great idea that's taken.
crap.
I know. We can't make that app either.
So I go in and, you know, my mom, she's not even really crying. She just, you know, I'm just holding her.
Right.
And she's just sort of shaking.
Uh-huh.
So we sit down and we talk for a little bit and she's just shaking.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, Mom, you know, I have like Xanax. I don't know,
sure.
You know, if you can take stuff like that. And it's not, you know, I don't really dole out drugs or anything, but
right.
If you, you know, and she goes,
I can go out and score you a lid.
Right. What does that mean?
that's drug parlance.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. So she's, you know, she says, you know, that might be a good idea.
Sure.
So I go get her a glass of water and I take it into her and everything. And she takes it. Excuse me. And then one of my sisters and my cousin come in and, you know, they're like, how are you doing? And we all sit down and everything. And I think she'll be okay. I just gave her a Xanax. And immediately.
Yeah.
I see panic in my cousin's eyes.
Oh, no.
And she says, Katie, can we go talk for a second? It's like, sure. Oh, Dana, can you sit here with Mom? And, you know, I'm going to go see what we might need to take care of. And we go out and she goes, what did you give her? I was like, what? And she goes, did you say you gave her a Xanax?
Yeah.
And I was like,
nerve
yeah,
pill.
Yeah. And she goes, I just gave her a Valium an hour ago.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? What? And then I too, along with my cousin, at this point, we both have like a little like nervous giggle
sure.
together because we're just like, oh.
You're playing out the many possibilities.
Oh, dear.
The many Dick Van Dyke Show-like possibilities that could happen at this funeral.
And then I'd see...
Love the teapot.
Dan's just like wandering around. I was like, Dan, coffee. Find some coffee. There's got to be coffee
good,
here somewhere.
Because when you're talking nerve pills, solve the problem like it's 1930.
We've got to sober
her up with black coffee.
What are you supposed to do? Because I'm immediately thinking... Well, she's going to fall asleep on us.
Sure.
So we got to pick her up somehow.
Okay.
Let's get the woman some coffee.
Okay, Elvis.
So Susie and I go in.
Pills to get up.
You know,
pills to get me down.
We're like, how are you feeling? You know?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, trying to assess the situation.
Spit bubble coming out of the corner of her mouth.
Yeah, everything was fine until about halfway through the service.
Okay.
And my mom is sitting in a pew in front of me, my sister, and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know what happened. My sister and I, at one point, we are the people that have been asked to step out of the room because we just start laughing.
And that happened. And you know what? That is more common.
We get so nervous, we just start laughing.
It's a reflex action. It's how you deal with stuff sometimes.
Well, I looked over and I saw like a tear go down her cheek and we both just started sobbing.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. And then my mom is like, I need to be there for my children. And I'm... So,
did she say this or just
no,
think it?
No, you can see it.
Okay.
Because here's what happened. We're sitting directly behind her, just sort of hugging each other.
Right.
And my mom's little tiny arm reaches back behind the... She's not turning around, though. She's just sticking her arm behind her, behind the pew.
Moving her arm in a way that it was never meant to move.
Trying to find a knee. Okay?
Like, so just sweeping?
She's just sweeping. Sweeping behind her. And then that's when I hear Odana and she's like, she's not like crying anymore.
Yeah.
She's chuckling. Okay. And then because I'm so short, I'm like trying to like stick my leg out. So maybe to give the woman
You're
something.
You're trying to have the knee find the hand.
Right.
As opposed to the hand finding the knee.
But I'm too short. Odana though. She is
taller.
She's like, she's 5'9".
Yeah, the right height.
So she just like pushes my leg out of the way and sticks her knee there. My mom like,
here, yeah. Here's my knee.
I know. My mom grabs her knee and then she turns around. But the thing was, at this point, she is so slow.
Yes.
Her head turns and then her eyes followed.
So everything is doing what it needs to do, but just in the wrong order.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. I'm really not sure. Oh, thank God my brother couldn't see all this happening because he's the real giggler
okay.
in the family. Once
right.
he gets going, he shakes like a bowl
oh,
of
dear.
Jelly and
yeah.
he just can't control himself.
So
oh, God.
Was she able to stay awake for the whole service?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She probably had a better time than most people.
I'm pretty sure she did. But although Dana and I did have the best seat in the house.
I would think so. I can just see that hand flopping around.
Her little arm was just sweeping. I am going to find a knee. My baby girls are back there. I'm going to find a knee and I'm going to squeeze it.
It's so, you know, bringing up the fact that you are a tiny person and so is your mom. You reminded me of one other thing about Ruth's funeral. And I did it. My Uncle Dana said, there's no way you did that. And I said, I did. Is that for years, the assistant at the pharmacy that JT owned that also did deliveries, he was about 4'10".
Please.
Great guy. And his name was Shorty.
He wasn't born with the name Shorty.
No, he earned it.
Now, let me...
He was not a pallbearer, okay, by the way.
Here's my next question. No. And bring it up the rear.
We couldn't see him because he was behind a tombstone. No, so we are. I'm introduced to him.
Hey, wait up. I'm almost there.
Come on, guys. Come on. And while I probably met him a dozen times growing up, I had not seen him in my adult life. And so my Uncle Dana says, this is a Shorty. And I said, hi, it's good to see you. And then, you know, like you do at a funeral, you know, once you introduce someone, you leave them, you move on to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so Dana leaves. I said, so how'd you get that name?
What?
I am such a jerk. And if he was gonna give me any grief, I'm gonna say, you slack off, pal, because I'm on the front right, all right? Squeezing with every ounce of strength, because I got no feeling in 3/5 of my hand. My hand 60% dead.
So the tips, our funeral tips,
yes,
would be
get there early.
And
get on the proper side that you can use your right. And if you can, get the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's the least weight bearing.
And then my tip is find out what drugs you have been ingested before you dole them out.
Precisely. And this is our second episode in as many weeks talking about death.
I know.
Something we want to let people in on? I don't know. All right. Stick around when we return.
I want to find out about that stack of...
Yeah.
Crap in front of
my stack of D's hot cash.
Yeah.
We got problems, folks, and we're going to address them when we return. So, how'd you get that name?
Oh, God.
Cake and Cookies.
It's 4.
What?
It was 4'10".
Very tiny. The question was asked ironically.
Right.
Okay. Now can we go to commercial?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Way to go, Dan. It wouldn't kill you to bring her flowers once in a while.
There's plenty in the backyard. I don't want to deal with that mess.
Do you know why he should bring you flowers?
I don't.
Because he's your lover.
Ew!
Jingle! Let's jingle and do the thing!
Vibrations. Weekend Vibrations. KLOU 1580 Vibrations.
A lot of fun. Wrong jingle.
1630 KCJJ.
Hey, speaking of KCJJ, I have something I want to tell. Oh, but because here's this.
Cake and Cookies, the podcast that has nothing to do with cake or cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
This Friday evening, Rob Radio returns.
Hello!
To the mighty 1630 KCJJ. So if you've downloaded this podcast in a timely fashion, and it's 7 o'clock Eastern, go to the KCJJ website, which is 1630kcjj.com. Click the Raw tab. We'll be doing the Elvis thing on Friday, August 15th, celebrating Elvis Death Day.
Beautiful.
Very excited. I've got a big stack of records.
You've got a big stack of stuff in front of you. What is...
See, over there...
I know. This is all the...
That's the stuff we talked about last week. And by the way, it's fantastic.
I see it's been opened now, so
I've listened to 3 concerts on the way to work. It's so good. So well
recorded. By the time I get there, I'm weeping.
I am, you know, and it's not...
You really get wrapped up in it.
It's Christmas time for Elvis fans.
I know.
And the 17th, which is this Sunday, is, of course...
Death Day.
No, the 16th is Death Day. The 17th is when they're going to be screening Elvis, That's the Way It Is, at the Alamo.
Ooh, I'm sure you'll be going.
I already have my tickets.
I'm sure you do.
Would you like to come? I know it's an awkward time to ask you. This is not the time to ask.
I really don't have my calendar in front of me, but
you know what?
We don't have anything going on, I'm sure that we will.
You know what it might be? It might be the best funeral ever. It might even be better than Big Daddy's funerals to celebrate
Whoa.
Death Day there. Yeah, because they'll have popcorn.
Man, seriously,
yeah.
The popcorn at the Alamo.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, it's not just the best. They bring it to you like you're at home. They bring it to you in like the big,
bowl.
The big metal bowl like you would have at home. And they just keep refilling it.
It's the best. And you know what? If you order
it's bottomless popcorn.
And if you order it for four people, they'll bring you four bowls of it. It's like, it's a bad business model.
I mean, it's corn and air. It's not like it costs a lot.
That's where the profit is.
Washing the dishes probably cost the most out of everything
there. But still. And anyway, it's delicious.
I'm not even like a real popcorn person, but I got so excited just because I was like...
It can't be good for your face.
No, that's why I don't really eat. But just seeing the metal bowl, I was like, just like in my mom's house.
Probably should have said jaw. Popcorn's bad for your face.
I know. But that's what's really funny. Dan and I both, instead of saying my jaw, we call it my face. I'm like, man, my face hurts.
I didn't know that when I said it.
And he's like, how's your face today?
Hey,
and I'm like, your face.
Your face.
And that's our joke.
So.
Because we're lovers.
Hey, Biebs, how's your face? Do you want to love?
Ew. Ew. Ew.
It's getting worse.
Ew.
So we discussed in our most recent episode that I have a problem.
You have a big problem.
And stuff is continuing to arrive.
Oh,
and I've been doing my best to not be purely Elvis. Don't look.
I know. Okay, I'm sorry.
I've been doing my best to not be purely Elvis this week, although I easily could. I've been binge watching the Rockford Files. Which is great. Julia will occasionally stop in on the Rockford Files. Carrie likes the Rockford Files. So that's a good thing to watch at night.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I've been
watching.
I've
never seen the Rockford Files.
It's really great.
Okay.
The other thing I've been binge watching are Charlie Chan movies because I've bought five box sets.
You know who really likes Charlie Chan movies?
Who?
Aunt Jane.
Really?
She loves.
They're fantastic.
Yes.
They really are, but.
She loves, she has like a crush on Charlie Chan.
Which one, Warner Oland or Sidney Toler? Find out for me.
Okay.
My mom asked me, she says, so when you watch these Charlie Chan movies, and she's trying to wrap her head around it, she's, Robbie, when you watch the Charlie Chan movies, who watches them with you? I said, Sharon, when I put them on, it's like turning on the light in a roach-filled room. People scatter.
It cracks me up that you call your mom Sharon.
Cracks you up that she calls me Robbie.
That's true. The whole like name thing is just weird.
So nobody watches Chan. Some people watch the Rockford, but it's Elvis week. And so,
when this is going, are you down
in
the
basement?
No, most
of our TV viewing is done in the kitchen.
So you're just driving people out of the hub of your home.
Sometimes, and sometimes I use mealtime to make them watch.
You're teaching Julia to cook?
I am teaching her to cook. But one thing that Julia and I will agree on is the movie, oddly enough, Psycho. We both love Psycho. Now, we've watched the original Psycho. We've watched Bates Motel, which is my favorite episodic TV show right now.
I can't watch them.
And this week on one of the many Showtimes that I receive, because, you know, I have fabulous television opportunities at all times, they put on the horrible Vince Vaughn and Heche remake of Psycho, where that's a shot-for-shot remake. And Julia said, this is okay. And I said, yeah, you know what it is? It's okay. I said, I don't have it on DVD. She said, you probably should, shouldn't you? And this is ugly because
your whole family is just one just big group of enablers.
So this week I got it. And I also, today in the mail arrived, I forgot I ordered it. The soundtrack to Psycho.
Can't watch him. Too scary.
I'm taking the plastic off even as we speak because I wanted to hear how it sounded with the Danny Elfman re-recorded Bernard Herrmann score.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite score ever.
Yeah,
I think so. I think so.
Huh.
I mean, there's some really good... Star Wars is probably a close second. Mm-hmm. Jaws is way up there.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there is nothing better than this.
Here, let me read that for you. Just give it. What do you?
What is the last track? Is the last track 13? 14.
The last track. Oh, well, I mean, this is actually really hard to read.
Okay, good.
It's a really awful font, but it's track 14.
14, and what's it called?
The Finale.
Let's see. Oh, you know what this is?
A downer?
They're probably watching me now.
Oh, stop, stop, stop!
They'll see and they'll know.
Stop it, please.
Are there any other score cuts on there?
Tell you. Figure it out yourself.
Let me just hear just a little bit.
No, seriously, you don't understand.
I know, I understand
this
plenty.
This is frightening to me.
Just a little bit of cut one. Just let me hear the overture. Because it is so great. You know, all strings. That's all they used in it. No percussion. No horns.
Will you play something happy after this?
Sure. One time I was driving home from Maryland in the dark through Route 15. I took a back road because I'm an idiot. And it is so dark outside that it's almost upsetting. And what comes up on my iPod? But the entire Psycho score. It's great to drive at night with this music playing.
No, it's not. Lock the doors. Drive faster.
Listen to this.
Keep going.
So great. Anyway, but that's not why I brought you here. Really? Psycho flips you out that bad?
That's
such a great film.
I don't do any... No.
Okay. Then let's do something happy then.
Please.
Okay. They both came this week. I told you I ordered two copies.
Yes, you did.
Yep. So this week I
But you're not going to play them for me. Now I have this dun-dun.
No.
Dun-dun.
I'll find something happy for you.
Thank you.
You want something happy?
Yes.
How about this? Because when you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown.
The Tulip Park.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely,
you can always go downtown.
So
washed my shirt.
Well, because you forgot to wear deodorant. Dantown. So that's happy. That's a good palate cleanser. Hello,
like that.
Dan.
Thank you.
So two copies of Elvis. That's just that's the way it is. Told you those would arrive.
Mm-hmm.
The Psycho soundtrack.
Yeah.
Psycho on DVD. Oh, something new arrived today.
Hi, Linus.
Look, this is just in from the mail.
Hi, baby.
But this is addressed to you.
But it's a present for you.
It's a present for me. Let's see what came in the mail today.
Oh, hello, Enabler.
Yeah,
how are you?
Perfect timing.
Let's see. Opening this up. Oh, I need a razor for this. Hold on. This is exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
You know what? When I opened that with the razor, I probably should have.
This should have been Gift Corner.
No.
No, stop.
All right.
Play the game. You got to wait.
You're right.
Or you got to play the music. You got to do, and it's Fragile.
Must be Italian.
You're going about things all wrong.
I'm very excited. You know
I know
why?
You are.
I'm all worked up. It's the...
Why? You know what?
This helps me find my happy place.
You want to know what?
What?
Dan is never coming back, and let me tell you why.
Why?
Because tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning, when I hear something outside,
yes?
I'm going to be like, Dan.
Dan, do you want me to burn a copy of the CD for you?
No!
I love this. All right, you want something happy now?
Yes, please.
Okay, let me find you something happy. Oh, this will be nice. Ready? Here we go.
Ooh, Danny boy.
That's happy. Just the taste. Also,
don't you have a different cut in there?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Open your present.
No.
All you have to do is play the music and open your present.
I'm going to, in the next segment, presents are part of the mailbag.
She's wait. Can you, come on.
You come on.
No, you.
Your face.
You're the.
Your mom.
I think you're going to have to delete that.
No, I didn't mean them together. I just want to show you two other things that arrived in the mail this week, which are very exciting. The Blu-ray of Elvis, That's the Way It Is.
That's a horrible picture.
It's not. It's not horrible.
Yes, it is.
But don't you think it's great that I got the box set, two LPs, and the Blu-ray all within 8 days of each
Rob,
other?
Rob, I think it's great.
It is great. And then this is the most exciting.
That was my hateful thought, sarcastic voice.
Because they only made 1,000 of these Blu-rays.
Follow That Dream?
Yes, one of Elvis's early 1960s movies.
Don't know that I've ever even heard of it.
It's wondrous.
Is it?
It is.
You haven't opened it.
No, I'll watch it another time. So yes, I still have a problem, and Carrie enables it.
Well,
things keep arriving.
Can we see what's in here?
Do you really want to do that?
I need to now.
Okay, I'll open it for you now. All right, very good.
Because you started to, and then
do a little background music while we do it. This will build anticipation.
I am going to walk out.
No, oh please don't. No one wants you to leave.
And it's no joke actually. Dan's gonna be mad because
I'm
gonna. Can I just have a glass of water?
I just want. And then a glass of water.
No, and then it's gonna be the. Okay, I have to go pee. Can you come stand outside the door?
That's the Elvis.
Oh my gosh.
The outlet.
The outlet
plate. But here's the best one of all. This is the one I'm most excited about. The switch plate that has Elvis Aloha from Hawaii on it.
You married the right woman.
I truly did. And you know what? As the Elvis bathroom nears completion, and so do I apparently, we are going to start posting pictures of it because we're getting close.
Okay.
Here is your present from Merle.
We can't, but I...
Yes?
I have patience.
You made me do that.
Yes.
You tricked me.
My present has been sitting here in front of you where I haven't been allowed to touch it for how long? Not even for 37 minutes. For 7 days.
Probably longer than that.
Right. How long? Because you are the master of the packages. Packages come to me.
I didn't want to open that then. You made me do it. So who's the master now?
That is such a lie. You tore into it like a child.
You said do it now.
Well, because you already started.
This hasn't gone as I thought it would.
It's because you played the music.
Can't you just be part of my joy? Can't you... celebrate.
That is not joyful music.
No. I'm not talking about the music. I'm talking about the fact that every day.
Oh, that you just, it's like Christmas.
Some Elvis stuff arrives.
You've made such a mess.
Yeah. And look at this.
Stuff
and I can't do a thing with my hair. Well, that segment was a loss.
Oh, man. I really like... You know what? I like even better than the Aloha switch plate. I really like how they did the...
The Elvis 68.
The outlet.
Yeah.
That's really... I like that a lot.
Boy, the bathroom is really coming along.
It is.
You must be very excited.
I have to pee between every segment, so I don't... Because I can't... I have a tiny... Little person, little bladder.
That's right. So why do they call you Shorty?
Same reason they call me Squirt.
All right, no more psycho music. No more Elvis Blu-rays.
You got to make sure you get black screws for these. Well, actually, one, you need one. Well, this is going to be tough.
You know what you do?
Mm-mm.
You find the screws,
and then you
color them either with whiteout or a Sharpie.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that.
Dude, I have so been there.
You're going to have to do that.
But not right now, because now it's time for commercials.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll entertain your questions. And hopefully you too. You never heard of Follow That Dream?
No.
It's the movie where Elvis kills the girl in the shower. Oh no, that's Psycho. I'm confused.
Go to commercial.
Let's reset and we'll be back after this. Oh, you know what? Not great.
I'm sorry.
You did this to me.
I'm sorry.
You requested this jingle.
It's smooth listening with the number wonderful sound of WIBG Radio 99.
Joe Niagara.
1630 KCJJ.
Very popular disc jockey.
I love that jingle.
That's a good one.
It's not really a jingle. It's more, it's like, it's just good. It's like a song opening.
Well, what is a jingle but a short song?
True.
Indeed.
You know what? I think the best descriptor for that.
Yes.
Delightful.
Great. Adjective. Gonna play dude now, so don't talk.
He's cake. She's cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
Laughing Dude on the 25th episode of Cake and Cookies.
You know what?
What?
I believe, even better, that jingle was grand.
Don't look at me to argue it.
It's true.
It is true. WIBG, do you know where it is?
No.
Philadelphia.
Okay.
And now you know.
And now I know.
The
rest of the story.
Smooth listening on WIBG, or as they called it, Wibbage.
Wibbage.
They did. Oh, you know what? Before we get into the mailbag... Boy, we haven't played this in a long time.
So mean. I am like staring at my...
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, what?
It's time for gift shop.
What?
Which doesn't make any sense because this is called thrift shop.
Right.
But...
What?
So open it. What?
I hope it's not perishable.
Oh, how nice. Merle sent you a souffle.
Could be a TTC in here.
A TTC?
Tater tot casserole.
Oh, I don't think it is. It would be have to be an awfully small one. You know what I'm pretty sure it is? It's a telephone.
I don't want a
telephone. I'm pretty sure it's a telephone.
Rob.
What?
I'm so mad at you for giving me these damn scissors.
I can't wait for Christmas when you open the telephone.
I can't get it open.
You need help. My dear.
I should have just
remind me to never let you be a pallbearer.
I can't.
Jesus.
I'm totally.
Look at you.
Oh, they'd never choose me.
She's too short.
She's too short. Did I even. What is going on?
Is there
here?
A letter? Is there any sort of.
There's a post-it.
Ah. Okay, read it, please. Gather yourself.
Katie.
Oh, that's you.
Dobby is a free elf.
Oh, no.
Shut up. Don't take this away from me. Can you get yourself together? This is important to me.
I shall collect myself.
I already cried once on this show for Dobby.
I know.
Katie, Dobby is a free elf. Katie is an awesome lady. Thanks for sharing the missing moments. Merle.
Oh, she was very excited to hear the drunken show. Stretch it out. Or what? I think that is that what we called it? Stretch
it's a Dobby keychain.
Hey!
I will use this.
Sure. You know what you can put on it? Keys.
Keys.
And other elf-related items.
He's a Lego.
Can I see it?
Nope.
Thanks. I don't even know what is a Dobby. I want to see what he looks like.
I do not understand how you even watch the Vince Vaughn version of Psycho and you've never seen Harry Potter.
I've watched some of them.
Liar.
I've watched some of them. I have them on video.
Oh, this
it's
is
that
perfect.
Guy. It's that guy.
He's the best on Dobby.
Is he the best thing in the movie?
No.
What's the best thing in the movie? Hermione?
She's cute.
Sid Granger? What's the name of the redheaded kid?
Is it His arms move.
Is his name Sid Granger?
You mean Ron?
Ron Weasley.
Yeah.
But aren't there Grangers in the movie?
Hermione's last name is Granger.
And she has a brother named Sid, right? And he runs a record.
You gotta stop this.
I think he runs a record company.
He does not. She's an only child.
Of course.
And even at one point, she erases her parents' memory of her just so she could go fight the battle.
When she erased their memory, did she have more room on her
hard
drive?
They were dentists, you know.
Oh, but Sid didn't run a record company? Sid and Marty Granger, I think, was their names.
You want to see my keychain?
No, I'm past it.
That's good, because I'm not going to...
Oh, kind of upset it there, didn't I? Oh!
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Sid and Marty Granger.
There's a choking hazard.
Really? Okay, you know what? I don't even know how to handle that. You take that. There's a choking hazard.
It's on the... It says here.
So don't put it in your mouth.
Okay.
I've never said that before.
It's recyclable.
But you'll never let it...
really like this.
Can we take a photo of it for the show this week?
Yep.
Good.
You know what?
What?
So
we got
our new car.
Yes. Your fabulous new Dobby mobile.
In May.
Yeah.
Still don't have a keychain for the car keys.
You know what?
I do now.
You could put the car keys on Dobby. And you know what he could be? Not a house elf. He could be a car elf.
He's a free elf.
No, I don't understand that.
It's because you're an ass.
No, you know what? If you don't use the space bar right, he's not a free elf. He's a free elf. Make it one word.
You're the worst.
Date.
You know what? The best part is even the packaging. She drew with flowers on it. Merle's the best.
She is the best.
She really is.
She's a free elf. You know who else is? Shorty from the drugstore.
Oh.
So
you might have gone just a step too far.
Dobby, why do they call you Elf? He's a tiny guy.
He's an elf.
Little guy. April 6th, the letter reads, Dear Rob and Katie. Oh, daggers. You're going to love this. You know why?
Mm-mm.
Rob, R-O-B.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
Fan of me, not so much you.
Two B's and Dobby.
There are.
Rob and Katie, I don't write letters, but I had to this time. The latest Cake and Cookies on August 6th was the best.
Hey.
While listening to Katie's power outage story, I laughed out loud so hard, I think I pulled something.
Smiley face. Such a weird day.
When Rob started to sing like an Asian woman, I was no longer professional at work. I'm sure there was whispering around the water cooler. Anyway, thanks for making my crappy, ordinary workday fun. Sue Williams from Baltimore, Maryland, hon.
From Baltimore.
P.S. I love, love, love when Rob and Mike use Baltimore accents. And a Mike O'Mara show did that today, too. Nice. You guys rock.
You guys rock.
Well, thank you, Sue. That's very sweet of you.
She's from Charm City.
She sure is. Do you know who her favorite elf is? Dobby. Here's a double shot from Mike Pallett.
Okay.
He says, oh, this is sad. Too soon. Dear Casey's remains.
Oh, did they find him?
Oh, I think they know where he is. They just don't have a chance to get him out. He's in a funeral home.
What? I don't even know.
Me neither.
Okay.
But remember.
It's because he married that giant tortellini.
That harpy. Get on the left side of the coffin. I'm just telling you.
Dear Casey's remains.
That's true. Listen, don't get too graphic. That's okay. Sad. Munsters or Adam's Family?
Adam's Family.
I think you're right sometimes. It depends on my mood.
Okay.
It really does. Did you know that every episode of the Munsters?
Rang.
Every episode of the Munsters has at least one instance of fast motion.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I saw last week? There was a thing on BuzzFeed. It was like color pictures of the filming of the Addams Family. It was weird.
Very upsetting because you can't think of it in color. Gomez was in purple, wasn't he?
Yes.
It's weird.
And they were all, because they were, you know, candid shots and they were all happy.
So it was like casual Gomez.
Yes.
You know, around the office,
casual
Uncle Fester.
Casual Gomez, yeah.
Perhaps Lurch with his legs crossed.
Lurch, and Lurch's hair is not what you think it is in color. It's just weird.
I think the writing is exceptional on the Addams Family, mm-hmm. but you have a hard time arguing with the Jewish vampire in the Munsters. Like Grandpa a lot. His follow-up question, Dear Casey.
You know, oh, see that.
What?
I might be, I forgot about Grandpa.
He's great. And you know
he's
what?
Really good.
Marilyn's kind of box.
Yeah.
And you know what? Lily Munster box in her day too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yvonne DiCarlo. Trey doable in the Ten Commandments. I'd violate a couple of commandments with Yvonne DiCarlo.
Next question.
All right. Dear Casey, milk, semi-sweet, or white? I guess he's talking chocolate. Semi-sweet, milk, or white?
Wrong.
What do you mean wrong?
Wrong.
What?
The right answer is not there.
But it's not an option.
Dark.
Exactly. I love dark chocolate.
Well, then I don't want any. I don't like chocolate otherwise.
White is not chocolate. White chocolate is not chocolate.
It's disgusting.
It's not great.
It's gross.
Of the choices, I choose milk chocolate.
Yuck.
But you know what I like?
I don't like sweet stuff.
Do you ever get the bags that have like the Hershey little guys?
I don't buy candy.
Okay. Are you familiar with the product?
The Special Dark?
Yeah, there's the Special Dark, mm-hmm. the Crackle, Mr. Goodbar, and the Hershey's milk chocolate, right?
Well, see, Hershey turned on me a few years ago when
they changed. The entire corporation turned on you?
Yes, they turned on me. They turned coat. They changed their formula so the chocolate is more waxy.
I don't think they did.
This happened when Aunt Jane and I were living together, and they changed it because every evening we would.
What?
So stupid.
I think I know what's coming. This involves port, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes, we've discussed this.
Yes, we would. The port wasn't every night, but we would each have like one square of Special Dark.
Uh huh.
In the evening, it was like our little thing.
And it pairs well with the port.
And they changed the formula.
Are you sure it just wasn't a bad batch?
I'm absolutely sure. There was a whole thing about like Nestle was trying to cut costs.
Well, this is Hershey's.
Hershey was trying to cut costs by using a different kind of, or not as much cocoa. There's something that they changed.
Did you know that in the war, that they used more wax and they made special runs of chocolate bars that would travel into the heat well and they wouldn't melt as much.
Well, we're
maybe
not,
you got yourself some wartime chocolate.
They changed it and it wasn't delightful anymore.
By the way, wartime chocolate is playing at Gabe's this weekend. No cover.
And then Aunt Jane moved away.
Because of the chocolate?
I'm sure of it.
Well, you know what? Thanks a lot, Hershey.
Getting to know
it's the truth.
You.
Getting to know the wound is still open.
For every action,
there's an equal and opposite
reaction.
That's right.
I miss her.
Jeffrey S. King writes,
God damn you, Hershey!
Is this even a show today?
No.
Jeffrey S. King writes, just listen to the Dead Frog show. Ah, I wanted to say thank you for letting me do the interview and post it on the Cake and Cookies feed when I did the author interview this week.
Absolutely, and I want to say thank you for letting me borrow the book.
Well, you're going to love the book, and if you have a chance to listen to it, I'm not really fond of doing interviews. It's not something I
couldn't
relish,
tell.
But I was excited about that author.
You did a great job.
I was excited about that author. I may try to do another one. If something really piques my interest, I may try to do another.
You know the one thing that stood out to me in your interview?
What?
You know.
What?
You know, I know you know.
No, I don't.
He listens to our show.
Oh, I know. How great is that?
He made a comment. I can't remember what it was, but
I know.
I'd all
He's ever... on the editorial staff at Vanity Fair.
I know.
And he liked your analysis of Love.
No, that's right.
That's right. And that's he and you know right. what he said? If everyone sees Love, then everyone can be a lover.
Oh, would you stop it?
Anyway.
Between Psycho and your lovers, you're ugh.
I know. Just wanted to say, Jeffrey S. King, just listen to the Dead Frog show. But anyway, yeah, if you listen to that, I hope you liked it. If not,
it was great.
Go scratch. It wasn't a real episode, so it doesn't count. You're not allowed to hold it against us if you didn't like it. Really good stuff, and I will buy the book. Good. Like to see that guy being supported. One thing I wanted to comment on is what Mike Sachs commented about the community of listeners to Don and Mike and the Mike O'Mara show when it was on WJFK. I, too, was aware of the idea that all over the country I was a part of that community, and I originally missed that feeling when the show went to podcast. Aha. However, because of the Facebook presence of both shows, I find the community is even more significant now. Maybe not as immediate, but we are all still listening at different times, but whereas I would have never have called the terrestrial show... I'm sorry, let me start that again. But whereas I would have never called the terrestrial show, I participate probably too much via internet. This is why I always look forward to the mailbag birthdays segment on Thursday on the Mike O'Mara show and getting to know you on Cake and Cookies. It retains the same sense of being part of a group. Anyway, great show as always. Very nice.
I think that's awesome. And I absolutely think it's true that through the medium of social...
Right.
Networking.
Yes. How you doing?
Words are so hard.
Well, they're very tough.
So hard. But there's absolutely a community.
Yeah.
I mean, people that I have never met, like Merle. Well, I've met Merle. So, okay, that's a terrible. But there are people that I've never met.
Sure.
That they will send me messages and I will talk.
As
I
if
feel like I know these people.
I'm closer to dozens and dozens of people on Facebook than I am. As you know, I don't even know when people in my neighborhood come and go. We've explained this before.
No, apparently you do know one of the people that live across your street because they're a listener.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But that's the only reason.
Yeah, and ixnay on that.
Oh,
Because, yeah, there is a... It's just a thing.
Okay.
But she didn't steal my trash can. We know that.
Okay.
I'll explain to you later.
Somebody stole your trash can?
Oh, this is years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, oh. No, they just recently moved
exactly.
in.
Exactly. How could they possibly steal it? Come on. You're losing your head.
Okay.
I'll explain to you later. It's just, let's not talk about it.
Okay.
Not just now.
Okie doke.
Dear Casey, this is a question for Judd.
Hi, Mr. Bob.
Hey, Judd. How's it going?
I'm in timeout.
I know. Well, I appreciate the fact that you were allowed to come out of timeout and join us on the show.
I have to go back in probably. I've been bad today.
Well, you're hurting. How's your leg? What happened?
I don't know, Mr. Rob.
You got that hot spot?
I don't know.
You know what? They have a thing on my phone called a hot spot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Does your mom put some foamy stuff on it?
No, it just allows me to...
And then you lick it off, it tastes terrible.
No, then why do you keep licking it?
I don't know.
It just allows me to surf the internet.
I haven't even collected any sticks today.
Does your hotspot let you surf the internet?
I don't know how to surf.
No, well, you shouldn't have to.
Okay.
Here's your question.
Mm-hmm.
It reads, Dear Judd, mm-hmm. What is the one non-dog thing that you cannot do that you wish you could do? Is it surfing?
Mm,
Mm-mm.
No? What do you want to do?
What do I want to do? Mr. Rob, this is a hard question.
It is, and it requires a lot of thought.
Let's see. What?
Especially since you're not feeling well.
You know what I'd really like to do?
What's that?
Get in the refrigerator. That's where Mom keeps all the good stuff.
Now, does your refrigerator have an ice dispenser?
Mm-hmm. I love a cube treat.
A cube treat?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you...
Sometimes Mom will stand down in the kitchen and she'll yell, cube tweet, cube tweet. And then me and the pretzels, we nearly knock each other over trying to get to her. And they're so cold. And it's refreshing, Mr. Raw.
Tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Tasty.
I like to crunch them.
So,
cube treat.
Do you think...
I'd like to really get
into... Are you tall enough that if you really focused, you could figure out how to get a cube treat?
Mm-mm.
Because it's probably, what, about 30 inches up?
I'm not tall enough, Mr. Rob.
What if we got you a stool?
I don't know, Mr. Rob. That's really high.
Well, we'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Okay.
And so the refrigerator, that's your superpower?
Oh, yeah.
It's a superpower you want? All right. Well, Judd, thanks for coming by.
That's a superpower for a dog.
It is.
I know. I'm just a pup.
I'm just a little guy.
I'm just a little fella.
We appreciate you coming by. Back to timeout. Sorry, buddy.
Jesus.
Wow. Took the Lord's name in vain.
That's why I'm in timeout.
I said get in the bathroom.
Okay.
Monty has... Oh, you know what we need to do is we need to do a separator.
Thank you. I didn't know how to get out of that.
Me neither. Bad board op. Let's fire him. Monty SQ writes, Katie, that's you.
Heyo.
If you were not doing this show with Rob, who would you want to do it with? Or if you wanted to be grammatically correct, with whom would you like to do it?
I wouldn't.
Oh, come now.
It's true.
No, you would with somebody.
I think you probably remember I have a couple of failed.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to choose them.
But no, I wouldn't have chosen them. That's why I didn't even last.
What about VZ? Would you do it with VZ? Jason VZ? He'd be fun.
I might do a show with VZ.
Yeah.
He'd be probably top three easy. Jason VZ.
Well, I'm very flattered. I thought you'd have an answer right away.
No.
How about would you do one with Dan?
No.
Really?
One can only get so far in a podcast where the other person gives you a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
That would be the name of the show.
Thumbs up?
Thumbs up with the Hermans. And we'd shorten it. It wouldn't be the Von Hermans. It would just be the Hermans.
Can we just be the Vons?
Vons? Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes, yes.
I like that. Noel Gallant writes, have either of you... Oh, I'm sorry.
God, what is wrong with you?
So tired. Have either of you ever been in a cast?
Of a play?
I think My Fair Lady.
I lettered in theater just like
Midsummer
Night's
Dream. No, I think she probably means Broken Bones.
Yes.
How? Explain.
Broke my arm.
When?
I actually broke my arm a couple times. Only required a cast once.
Okay.
I kept breaking my arm in the same place, right on like the tip of my elbow.
How?
The first time I think I fell off one of those swirly slides.
Yeah. Okay. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Fell off. Same damn slide. Then I was.
Do you know what the definition? I don't want to bring this show full circle, but the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
And
how many times did you break your arm on the same slide?
Just twice.
That's all.
Well, the second time it was a different slide, but same kind, same concept of it, twisty, and I was a little hesitant, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was going around it and trying to hang on, and my arm got like hung up in the slide.
Wow. Yeah.
And then playing baseball, I didn't require any cast, but I broke a bunch of my fingers.
A bunch of them?
Yeah.
How many?
Well, look at them. You can tell which ones are crooked. So this one and this, I broke both the middle ones on this one.
You can point at people behind you with those hands.
I know.
How did you break them? Did you get hit by a ball?
I slid into second.
Slide, DiMaggio, slide.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to that question is probably what you expected. Based on my sedentary lifestyle,
no.
Never a broken bone.
I've had a lot of head injuries.
That's for another show. But if it's any help, a lot of times if I...
Can't put your face in a cast.
If I sit still long enough, my knees get tight. Well, I'm not so sure this qualifies as an episode.
No. I don't even know what this was.
No, but we never looked back.
I got a keychain.
God bless you. And you know what? He's a free elf.
He is. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Just being nice.
Can you do me a favor?
I can.
I'm going to read this book.
Yes.
You're going to read the Penny Marshall book.
Right.
I want you to watch a Harry Potter.
I've watched them, but I need to. I guess I need to really focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it.
All right. Okay.
Do I need to smoke drugs or anything to really like it?
No.
Good. Because I'm ice pass on grass.
All the time, fucker.
All the time. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Oscar.
No, I don't puff the magic dragon. No.
No.
Ice pass on grass.
Boom, boom, bloom.
All the time.
Thank you, Steve Bridges. And if you're hearing this in time, I hope you join me Friday night on KCJJ as we salute the, how many years has it been? 37? Yeah, 37 years since the passing of the King of Rock and Roll. Wow. Do you realize his death is almost getting stuff from the AARP now?
You realize his death is pretty much my age.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? They're not related. It's not like the chocolate making Aunt Jane move away.
He was like, she's coming to the earth and I got to get out.
I want nothing to do with that one. She's too short.
She's too short.
She's freaking me out.
How'd you get that name?
She's like that man at the pharmacy. So thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back next week with another new one. Thank you everybody. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Rob.
See you next week, everybody. Have a great evening.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Portions not affecting the outcome of today's game may have been edited prior to today's broadcast. Cake and Cookies, the Rob and Katie Show. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
We don't have a house phone.
Oh, because you're too cool.
I don't. No. I didn't know that we actually had a telephone number until Dan told me. I don't know what it is, but apparently you have to have a phone line. The phone line comes with the package or something like that.
But you don't have anything hooked up to it?
No.
Look how cool you are. I'm going to get you a phone.
But I don't know what to do with it. I don't even
plug it into the wall.
But what's the number?
Well, Dan knows.
Dan?
I have no idea. I'd have to look it up.
But you have access to it.
Yes. It was just cheaper to get like the triple play as opposed
to... Of course. So if I were to give you a phone, you could have a phone.
Oh, you're going to give me your broke ass phone?
No, not that one.
Right.
I have the phone from Ken Stevens' office.
Is it rotary?
It's not. Oh. It's a wall phone. Do you have a bracket in your kitchen?
Did we hang the beer opener over top of it?
You know what? I would be the only person that would know the phone number. So whenever it rang, you'd know it would be me.
It's the Rob line.
You would hear a bell ringing. It's like, Jesus, he's calling again.
Not Jesus. No. Rob.
Because you remember the one phone at WJFK?
Oh,
and it was on the wall right here. And when it rang, it was either a wrong number, school closing, or Miss Bobby.
And it was like...
Yeah, because someone had jammed paper in it.
So
instead of the Rockford Files...
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. That's what you need to have at your house.
I'd really rather not have one.
And I'll be the only one that has the number.
I'd really don't want
no
one.
No numbers, just like the bat phone.
No numbers. No numbers. Just so, because you're the only person.
Yeah, but you're not going to put it under a cake thing, are you? Like the bat phone was?
Why not?
I don't know if it could be red. Red isn't my color. Orange?
It's not. I don't like red either.
What are the colors of your kitchen?
You've been there.
What do you think I did? Take notes?
It's gray.
Okay.
Black.
Yes.
White.
That's the Adams Family kitchen.
Right. And then the so you all of want, our dishes are all those crazy.
So you'd
crazy
want something
colors.
In black or white or maybe cream.
No. I don't like off-white. I don't like beige.
Ecru?
No. God, no.
Windrift?
Mm-mm.
So a phone that is just a ringing-only phone, and it's a bell. It's not going to be like an electronic. It's going to be a classic phone, and it'll sit. It doesn't have to be in the kitchen. I bet you have a jack in the front room.
There's a jack in the bedroom.
Yeah, there is.
There's no...
You get one of the Elvis phones where like the hips swivel when the phone.
No, no, I don't want that. I don't want that.
I don't want any of this. Why are you two? I'm being ganged up on.
No, no, you're getting a gift.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, baby. Telephone.